Live Mike.
Pittsburgh Steelers fans, it is time once again for another edition of the Live Mike Podcast. My name is Michael Beck, your host and deputy editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Today we are hanging out with you, breaking down the Steelers' outside linebacker position, because I believe that spot is the one that holds the key to the Pittsburgh Steelers' success in the 2021 regular season and beyond. This position for the Pittsburgh Steelers not only holds the team's best player, but it also features a player that is taking on a brand new role and taking a spot of prominence for this team. On top of that, there's some depth concerns that we will get into as this podcast goes along, but when we look at the spot as a whole to kick things off, really, one of the things that we've learned about Keith Butler's defense is they run a lot of their systems to get TJ Watt and previously Bud Dupree in situations where they were one-on-one or just really in very good positions for the outside linebackers to be getting home to the quarterback and just racking up some serious sack numbers. When teams try to hold them down, that's when the guys on the interior would run wild, those being Cam Hayward, Stephon Tuitt, formerly Javon Hargrave, now Tyson Alualu. Those guys in the middle, when they try to overcompensate to stop the outside linebackers, guys in the middle really did some damage. So really, you see teams just try to pick their poison and let the guys that are furthest away from the quarterback try to get home rather than letting the guys in the interior have those one-on-one matchups. So what we've seen in recent years is the outside linebackers having some pretty nice matchups for them. TJ Watt, specifically, if we're going to look at him first, this is going to be a huge season for the youngest Watt brother. This year, if there ever was one, I would say is his kind of golden chance to win that first Defensive Player of the Year award. The hype is going to be there. He's been climbing up those rankings year by year. I think we've kind of learned, though, as Steeler fans, despite the crazy numbers he's put up the last two seasons, he's going to have to do something even bigger than that to take the award away from an Aaron Donald or whoever across the NFL. TJ Watt needs to do something ridiculous, and if he's healthy, I could absolutely see him do that. I honestly kind of project him in a 17 game regular season to finally be the one to break James Harrison's single season sack record. Of course, that was 16 back in 2008 when Harrison set that mark. Of course, he did win Defensive Player of the Year himself. That's what TJ Watt's really going to have to do if he wants to hoist the award. I think he's got to surpass 16 sacks. Heck, I think he's got to surpass a sack per game and flirt around that 20 sack mark if he's actually going to take home the hardware. He's been snubbed a couple years in a row, but TJ Watt obviously is in the mind of voters, so it really is one of those situations where he will be kind of viewed in that conversation entering the season. It's what he does within the season that is going to help him with any type of individual award. But TJ Watt, as ever, is going to be his usual dominant self. He still has the guys around him that are going to let him be successful and really just be that that menace when it comes to pressuring the quarterback. He is going to be the guy. We know this already. We know how talented he is. I guess the only question that surrounds TJ Watt this season is whether or not the Steelers get his contract extension done before the regular season starts or before next free agency period. There's no way he's going anywhere. At the very least, if the Steelers can't work out a deal, they'll slap the franchise tag on him and continue to work on a deal throughout the next year, really. So TJ Watt, we know what we're going to get from him. He's the guy that we can quite easily spend the least amount of time on here today because he is that force on this team. He's a leader, and he's someone that's really kind of lined up nicely to take that that next step and really push himself into the upper echelon of the NFL's elite here in 2021. It will be an exciting year to watch number 90 on the Steelers defense. Across from him, replacing Bud Dupree, is one young Alex Highsmith. This is going to be one of the biggest question marks across this entire Pittsburgh Steelers team, which we know has a lot of question marks as it is entering the season. But what Highsmith can do after a full season in the Steelers system, after kind of being that third edge rusher for the Steelers, now he is the guy. He is going to be playing close to 100% of the snaps. He'll be virtually taken off special teams, much like how TJ Watt was in his second year. To be honest with you, I'd be surprised if we saw Highsmith on any of the special teams units unless it was absolutely necessary. So he is just going to be that guy on the edge. For Alex Highsmith, however, his success is really going to come down to how successful, really, he could be in the rushing attack. That was kind of his biggest weakness in year one. Of course, he was kind of a pass rushing specialist in college, something he was renowned for. I do believe in his final year in the NCAA, he was second in the nation in sacks for his Charlotte University 49ers. He was a guy that was always able to put pressure on the quarterback. He didn't have big-time flashy sack numbers in 2020. I think a lot of that has to do with the limited snaps before Bud Dupree tore his ACL. After that, he did pretty well for himself. Of course, he's still a rookie in that season, so it was kind of a... not fair to put too much pressure on the youngster, but this year he needs to have a pretty significant season to limit the impact of the loss of Bud Dupree. I think it's a little underrated to say, but I think we'll still feel that loss. Bud Dupree, he just developed into such an amazing all-around pass rusher on the Steelers and just complemented the rest of the defense so nicely, whether he was chasing down runs from behind or getting the quarterback himself. Bud Dupree really started to click these past two seasons with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I don't think Highsmith will perform quite to the level that we saw Bud Dupree achieve really those last two seasons. Those were borderline elite edge rushing seasons. So I don't think it'd be reasonable to expect that from Alex Highsmith. But I think he will definitely build off what he did last year and have a solid little campaign for himself in 2021. Alex Highsmith, I think it's also worth noting that he looks to be in incredible shape to start off this organized team activities period. In some a couple photos we saw of Alex Highsmith, he noticeably looks bigger, more muscular. That is, he looks like he's really committed himself to getting in the best shape of his life. And in interviews, he said he's gained upwards of 4 pounds. Really, it could definitely be more than that. I believe in his combine weigh-in, he was somewhere around the mid-240s mark, and now he's weighing in closer to the mid-250s. So I think over the course of a year and a half, I'd say he's gained about 10 pounds, if I'm just kind of projecting everything correctly here. But according to Alex Highsmith, from his time at OTAs last year to now, just about a 5-pound swing, but he noticeably looks to be in better shape. If he can figure out to be a better defender against the run, he's only going to be better for it. Once again, thankfully for him, though, he is going to be on a defense that really just allows their edge rushers to be successful. It's the strength of this team is the defensive line and how they're able to suck up blocks. They'll have Devin Bush back to do his thing in coverage. Once again, Vince Williams is reclaiming his spot at middle linebacker with Robert Spillane behind those two. So the Steelers front seven is in really good shape and really are going to allow a guy like Alex Highsmith to be as successful as he possibly could be in the position that he's in. He's set up very well, but he's going to have to perform. If he could have a 10-sack season, that would be absolutely incredible in my books. I think that would be kind of a top-of-the-line projection for a guy like Alex Highsmith. I'm not necessarily banking on it, believe me. That's kind of the ceiling I foresee for this youngster. I could see him right around like the 7.5-8 sack total. But really, his season is going to come down to what he can do up against the run if he doesn't get pushed around and really kind of establish himself as a force. We know it took Bud Dupree about four-ish years to really get it everything to click, and he had a first-round pedigree. Alex Highsmith, of course, a third-round pick. So it might take him marginally longer, but I think he will have a better year two than even Bud Dupree did way back. Well, I guess that would have been 2016 when Bud Dupree was having his second season. So looking at this, at the two starters, I think we clearly see TJ Watt is poised to be one of the best players in the entire NFL. Alex Highsmith, sure, there's some question marks behind him, but he could have an outstanding little season for himself just based on being in such a perfect system for any edge rusher to be in. He's gonna get a ton of one-on-one matchups. He may never face a double team the entire season, considering what's around him. Alex Highsmith is due for a big year. If he doesn't have one, that could be a bit of a concern, and the Steelers might start to look outside the organization next offseason, just based on how much talent is around him. It really is. I know it's just year two, but it kind of feels borderline make or break. I know the Steelers were patient with Bud Dupree. Alex Highsmith is in a very good spot to be successful. If he has stats that match what he did as a rookie, say just 2 sacks, that could sound some alarms. He needs to have a pretty decent year for himself to hold on to that spot, but boy, the Steelers sure made it easy for him to have a good season. The second half of this podcast, after we jump out of this next break, is going to look at the guys behind those two starting edge rushers and why I think the guys behind the starters are one of the kind of primary reasons to be worried about the Pittsburgh Steelers. All this and more in the second half of the Live Mic. Just hang tight, and I'll be back in just a moment. Fans, it is time for the second half of the Live Mic podcast. Once again, my name is Michael Beck, and once again, still your deputy editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Today, we are looking at the outside linebacker position. The first half of the show, for a quick reminder, broke down TJ Watt. He's going to be great. We know this. And Alex Highsmith, who's set up to have a phenomenal sophomore season in the NFL. But beyond them, this is one of my biggest worries for the Pittsburgh Steelers. It is your outside linebacker number 3 being Cassius Marsh. And then your outside linebacker number 4 spot, by all means, it should be 6th-round pick Quincy Roche out of Miami and Temple before that. Just a quick note, though, before I get into why I'm so worried about the backups this spot. One of the big reasons why I place Roche as the outside linebacker number 4 is, once again, he's a 6th-round pick. Historically, Mike Tomlin coached teams, if you're a 5th-round pick or later, unless there's a significant injury, you are not playing as a rookie. That's just the way it goes down. At best, you're a backup that doesn't see significant snaps. Yeah, you might play some special teams, but just the way this team operates, sure, we're going to see a lot of rookies make an impact this year, but to say a 6th-round pick is going to be hand-crafted, hand-gifted a spot that's going to see a significant number of snaps, it just isn't going to happen. That's just not how this team works. Quincy Roche would have to come in and be absolutely phenomenal and have the preseason of his life. Heck, we saw Tuzar Skipper have 5 sacks in 4 preseason games, and he was cut. So that should really tell you all you need to know about how the Steelers kind of view their undrafted guys and their late round picks. Hey, the deck is stacked completely against a guy like Roche climbing the depth chart. Anything further past that fourth linebacker spot, that's just the way it is with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So don't hold your breath on him being the third guy and being outstanding. Here's where the problem lays with the Steelers' outside linebacker position, though. TJ Watt specifically is an extreme effort pass rusher. What that means, he is giving 100% effort on every single play. Guys like that are outstanding. They're exactly what you want to have on the field. But someone who is giving 100% all his gusto on every single snap cannot play 100% of the snaps in an NFL game and be as successful as he is in the first quarter as he is in the fourth quarter. If the Steelers need TJ Watt to play 100% of the snaps, he will fade in the fourth quarter of games. That's just the nature of the way he plays the game. He's a smart guy. I'm fairly certain he's the one that takes himself out for series. We know this. We've watched TJ Watt for, 4 seasons now. And he doesn't play 100% of the snaps in all games. And it's not from injury. It is because he just physically cannot do it. If he's dog tired, he's not helping the cause at all. It's one of the reasons why he's so successful. He knows his body. He's able to check out for a number of snaps before putting himself back in the game. And continuing his dominant streak. Last year is Alex Highsmith. The Steelers have always had some sort of successful backup, and we saw what happened when they didn't, when they have Anthony Ciccolo as their top guy. I would argue the Steelers' outside linebacker 3, Cassius Marsh, right now, he's not to completely trash this guy, but there's no way around it. He's not a very good outside linebacker. He's really good at pass rushing the quarterback. That's his best attribute. But the problem is he's arguably the worst outside linebacker when it comes to defending the run. He's undersized. He's got a great speed rush, but when an offensive lineman attacks him, he's getting put on roller skates, and we saw it in that Cleveland Browns playoff game after Highsmith got a ankle sprain and left the game. Nick Chubb and the Browns just targeted Cassius Marsh, located where he was in the field, and just ran the ball down his throat over and over and over. See, a guy like Marsh is great to have as your fourth outside linebacker when it's 3rd and 18. You let him go out on the field and just charge the quarterback, and he might get him. Cassius Marsh has a bunch of career sacks. There's a reason why he's been in the NFL for so long. It's because he can get to the quarterback. The thing is, if you need him to play on running downs, your team is going to get slaughtered. This is why he's played for 8 teams in, 7 seasons. He just can't figure out that part of his game. He's a good special teamer. He gets home to the quarterback, but he cannot defend the run for the life of him. And for as long as he's been in the league, you know there's no way he's going to develop that game in one offseason, that part of his game, rather. He hasn't been able to do it thus far, and he knows that's the weakness of his game. It's just not going to happen. And right now, that is your Pittsburgh Steelers outside linebacker 3. And with 2 guys that are, by all means, are effort guys, they're going to miss some snaps just to try to get their energy levels back to what it needs to be to be successful for Watt and Highsmith. So when Cassius Marsh is on the field, teams are just going to abuse the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're going to find him on the field, they're going to run the ball at him, and then they're going to rip off 20-yard, 30-yard runs that we saw Nick Chubb do in that playoff game. And one of the reasons why the Steelers didn't advance any further past the wild card game, it wasn't Big Ben. Sure, there was some turnovers, but the Steelers couldn't stop the run for the life of them. One of the top-ranked defensive units looked like a terrible defense in that game, and you can directly point to that guy for being the reason why they were not successful. He just cannot play that high on your linebacker depth chart. He's fine if he's someone that doesn't have to play any defensive snaps because he's a great special teamer. He's quick. He can rush the passer if you need him to do that. But really, I still wouldn't want to put him on the field on 3rd and 6 because I feel like teams would be like, oh, Marsh is on the field. We can rip off a run for 6 yards, no problem, just by targeting the ball at him. He's got to be playing on situations where it's like 3rd and 10, 3rd and 12, 3rd and 15. And genuinely, why would you want to take Alex Highsmith or TJ Watt off the field in those situations when they can just pin their ears back and try to get after the quarterback? If you understand what I'm saying, basically, the Steelers don't add someone in that spot, I will be sick to my stomach. They absolutely need to add someone at the outside linebacker spot. And there are some names that are still available, like your Justin Houstons and your Melvin Ingrams. It hasn't happened yet, so honestly, I feel like neither of those guys really are options. We saw the Steelers were quote-unquote aggressive in trying to land Ryan Kerrigan, Adam Schefter, that is, of ESPN, reported after he signed with the Eagles. Honestly, from all the visits the Steelers have had this offseason, from your Carl Josephs to Ryan Kerrigan and most recently Malik Hooker, I'm kind of gathering the Steelers, and to backtrack a little bit, and considering the contracts those three guys went on to accept, I kind of have the feeling the Steelers are bringing a bunch of guys in and saying, hey, here's a 1-year vet minimum deal for you. Take it or leave it. And then they get a little bit more money elsewhere and say, yeah, I'm not taking that vet minimum deal. I'm not sure there is that free agent edge rusher on the market right now that's going to take that. And really, I'm not sure if that player is going to come around. The only way the Steelers are going to find value cash-wise is if they were to pull off a trade. And once again, I just don't see how likely that is. But if the Steelers roll into the 2021 season with the outside linebacker room the way it is, I think you're going to see a lot of success from the guys on top of the depth chart. But the second they need a rest, or God forbid there's an injury, the Steelers' defense is going to absolutely flop. And really, we saw it last year when they acquired Avery Williamson partway through the year. The Steelers' defense is very complex, and it takes some time to try to figure out all the intricacies of their scheme. It isn't easy. And Avery Williamson, he had some success in the run game. He racked up tackles, but he would look lost in coverage, and that's something the Steelers expect from their outside linebackers as well. So to say they're going to bring someone in week 6, week 7, you know you're not going to get the best out of that player. And really, the way I see it, and it's been an excuse the Steelers have made for a number of years, when they acquired Joe Hayden and Vance McDonald in 2017 after the cuts period of the preseason, and really the moves that they make year in and year out after training camp, they always say something along the lines of, oh, it will be great to get that guy in for a full training camp next year. Well, why not have a guy brought in before you even get to training camp? So that's not even an excuse. So the guy knows the playbook. God forbid, TJ Watt pulls a hamstring and has to miss a month and be at 4 or 5 games. What are the Steelers going to do? Because if they're going to bring someone in, they might ride the pine for a couple weeks to try to learn the playbook. In that time, Marsh is probably going to get eaten alive. And then they might have to throw Roche out there. And once again, a 6th-round pick, they just don't play. There's a reason why they're a 6th-round pick. Sure, they can develop. But really, you look at the Steelers, last 10 draft classes, and how many 6th- and 7th-round picks don't even make the team to begin with. It happens quite frequently. I just don't like that the Steelers haven't added a guy at all throughout this entire process yet. I feel like there's been opportunities, like, heck, Ryan Kerrigan's deal, he only accounts for $1.4 million on the cap. And they spread more money out in the future, Philadelphia, that is, to make it all work. I feel like the Steelers could have offered that deal no problem. And all of a sudden, one of the biggest positions of weakness, you add the best outside linebacker number 3 that the NFL saw in 2020. That's how good Kerrigan was for the Washington football team as their 3rd edge rusher. Sure, they neglect to make that move. It was an expensive one by any means. And once again, the Steelers were in on the guy. So if the Steelers aren't going to be making a play for an extra edge rusher, I'm going to cringe by the time we get to week one. I'll probably be sweating over it. Heck, I might even have an article come out over on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. And to put a bow on this podcast, why don't you go ahead and click over to BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. It should be your one-stop shop for all things Pittsburgh Steelers. You got your commentary, you got film rooms, you got all the podcast articles coming out from that website, and all the breaking news almost immediately as it happens. BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, your one-stop shop for all things Pittsburgh Steelers. So do yourself a favor, click over to the website. Once again, thank you for tuning in to today's show. Once again, you listen to the live mic. My name is Michael Beck. We will see you guys in the next one. Talk to you soon.